So we began learning last week about the Indian of Simcha, and we got a drop off topic, and we're going to stay a little bit off topic, but we'll see. Mitzvah will bring it all back. We're going to learn, probably spend the next week or two, maybe three, next week I'm not here, but the next week or two discussing the concept of Simcha, discussing the Avoid of Simcha, and then we'll really bring it back, how it ties back in to Tikkun HaKlali, to Pagam HaBris, to Tikkun HaBris, and we'll discuss how this is really, Rav Nachman said, it's one of the fundamental things that drag a person down into this world. And one of the fundamental tools that are necessary to stop a person from getting stuck in this world is the idea of simcha versus atzvas. A person has simcha, a person has the capability to be able to hold himself to a higher standard, not to be able to fall into the place of a gamma bris. Like Rav Nachman said, when a person falls to the place of atzvas, atzvas generally leads to that Indian specifically, which is called Pagama Bris, a person doesn't feel productive, a person doesn't feel like they're producing, a person doesn't feel like they're creative, a person doesn't feel like they're going ahead and building something, automatically that has the ability to pull a person down specifically to this Pagama, which is called Pagama Bris. And as we said, it means a lot. It means, we spoke about last time, I think, or two times ago, the idea of wasting time, the idea of sitting around and not being productive in general. It just means the idea of Pagama Bris. But we'll talk about a lot how this idea of Simcha is very heavily rooted. And again, it's important, Stam, to know, because this is an etzah that Rav Nachman gives us, how to be able to ensure that we're able to stay connected to this place of Tikkun HaBris, this place of Shmiras HaBris, this place of going ahead and utilizing our keiches in a way which is proper. But it's also crucial because specifically when we're learning in the Shirim of Tikkun HaKlali is called by Rav Nachman Asarei Mina Negina, and not just by Rav Nachman. Again, this is from the Zohar Kodesh, from the Gemara, from Rashi. This Lashon of Asarei Mina Negina, we'll see that Negina plays a very, very fundamental part in these Ten Kapotech of Tehillim. So generally we talk about Tehillim. Tehillim's okay. Tehillim's a nice thing. Tehillim, we say Tehillim. But Tehillim is Asarei Mina Negina is the word that he uses. Not Asarei Mina Tefila, but Asarei Mina Negina. 10 types of song. And we'll see how song itself is going to be one of the most fundamental aspects of the Inyan of Tikkun HaKlali. To say it, right? There's many musicians who have made up different negunim going through the Tikkun HaKlali, singing the Tikkun HaKlali. And we'll see again whether you sing it or say it. But the point is that these are negunim that were sung by David HaMelech. And the avoida is to recognize how crucial and how much of an important role negunim and song, but not just the singing of it, but the song, the idea of song, the idea of the happiness, the simcha that comes with song, the idea of the ups and downs within the music. Rav Nassim's going to talk about, we'll see, in this beautiful halacha in Hilchas Puru Ravu, halacha Gimel, Rav Nassim talks about over there, about how the concept of the way music is built, that there's a low part and a high part, and there's higher notes and lower notes, and how all of it's built from this real, deep understanding of what simcha means, and to be able to understand how it's starting to mean in negina, simcha, you know, haleluka, which comes from lashon of happiness, as opposed to the hepech of that, which is Yolala, which is sadness, which is crying, which is brokenness. We'll see that's going to be a very fundamental avoidant in stopping a person from falling into the place. I think I mentioned a few shiurim ago, and you asked me about this after last time, but the fact that this concept of saying Tikkun HaKlali has the capability to stop a person from getting involved in that avera, because when a person feels besimcha, a person feels happy, a person feels productive, that itself allows a person to be able to hold himself back. And we'll see how even once a person has the pagam, getting back to the place of simcha is going to be the most crucial thing that's necessary. I probably mentioned this many times before, but I heard from Tzvi Cheshen, when we used to live in Eretz Yisrael, he used to go often to a shiurim in Kutim Ran, give Peldik a shiurim in Kutim Ran. Eloy Atzim, and he would go through Mamash a line or two Lekutim Ran for 2.5 hours. So it was a Pella just to see, it was a wonder, just to sit there and just to watch a person scanning Kol Torah Kula, Mamash, like, unbelievable. Mamash, unbelievable. But anyways, one of the things that I remember hearing him saying, you know, Agav and Ashir, he said that Eitz Adas Tevara, Eitz Adas Tevara, the Sefer Tevis of the words Eitz Adas Tevara, spells Atzvas. Eitz is Tzadi, Das is tough, Tev is obviously Vez, and Ra is Ayin, which spells the word Atzvas, again, without the Vav in it, but that's the word Atzvas is sometimes spelled, and that spells the word Atzvas, because ultimately, after eating from the Eitz Adas Tevara, which the root of the Eitz Adas Tevara, was that Nachash Shittal Bazuam. It was really this concept, like Chazal tell us, that the Nachash had a taiva for Chava, and therefore she wanted to go ahead and kill Adam Rishon. The whole thing was really rooted in this taiva, in this place of Arayas. What she wanted to do is Shittal Bazuam. And Memela, what the byproduct of happens after a person falls to the place of Agama Bris is often that total feeling of Atzvas. A person feels like I'm nothing, I'm worthless. And if I felt worthless before, and that's why I fell into this place, a person then feels even more worthless, especially if a person is involved in the Avodah during the weeks of Shavim, a person trying to work on themselves, often with the Yetzer does, the Yetzer gets a person to fall, and once I fall, then I almost feel like I'm nothing. I feel worthless. I feel like a broken, shattered vessel, and therefore I don't have the capability to be able to get back up, to be able to then go ahead and be able to stop myself again. Because once I feel like like I've fallen apart. Once I feel like everything that I hold dear to me is not really there anymore, I let go all of it, then very, very often it becomes very hard for a person to be able to hold on and for a person to be able to then pick themselves back up. And therefore, we'll see that both not to get oneself into that place and both to get oneself out of that place, asara mina negina, this concept of simcha, this concept of negunim is going to be a crucial aspect of what a person needs to be able to fight this battle and be able to get out of the battle. And again, this is really all of Yahadis. We'll see the famous words of Nachman's going to write over here. Terech of Dalet of Mitzvah Gedol Lis B'Simcha Tamid. How crucial that is that a person's constantly B'Simcha. Barry Deutsch was just here this week and he spoke Mamash about this line. Fascinating how, you know, everything's coming together at once. You have Barry Deutsch coming from Forest Park talking about the Likutei Moran Shir. They were going here Mitzvah Gedol Lis B'Simcha, and like a lot of worlds are colliding in a very, very in a very small amount of time, in a very small space. But this is really what Rav Nachman's going to talk to us about in Terech of Dalet, Terech of Gimel, Chav Dalet, and the second Chelek. We'll talk about this concept of the Mitzvah Gedol Lis B'Simcha Tamid. Really, we're going to see, hopefully, that tonight or tomorrow or next week or whatever, not next week, the week after, we'll see how Rav Nachman defines Simcha, which seems like a very simple, basic thing. He gives a nice mashal. It's a cue. MBD made a niggin about this maybe 10, 15 years ago, but we'll see that it's not just a nice idea. It's not just a niggin. We'll see that understanding the way Rav Nachman defines what happiness is everything the psychologists are now talking about 200 years later. They're just starting to touch on this concept, right? The whole concept of IFS, or Rav Nachman's talking about all of this in Terech of Gimel, and we'll see how really understanding, I don't know a lot about IFS, but I know a lot about Terech of, I know a little bit about Terech of Gimel, and we'll see how Mamish, this is what everything the therapists are talking about, and everybody, all psychologists are talking about, and it's all Mamish, Terech of Gimel. It's a short Torah, it's a very fundamental Torah talking about Simcha, then we'll Mitzvah go to Terech of Dalet, which really touches already in Asar Min and Negina, and then Mitzvah Shem again, wherever we're holding then, however many weeks later we're holding then, we'll get to Lakut Allah Eseches Pru Ravu. We're not going to do the whole thing, although we should if we had a good few hours. Those are coming to next week to Brasov and Uman. Maybe we could sit for hours and hours over there to just sit and to go through this Torah. Look at that. It's 40 pages long. Look at the Halachas. Mamish, it's golden. It's beautiful to watch Reb Nachman just weave a tapestry going from Hilchos Pru Ravu to Gerim to Negina to Tikkun HaBris. Mamish, this is so much to Kainim Levim and Yisrael, why Kainim are able to marry each other, why Yichus goes after the mother, not after Mamish, like, Nassim just weaves together like 40, 50 different things based on a small turn on the Kutuman, Terech of Gimel, and he just takes a Mamish for 40 pages in Nachas Pru Ravu, Alachi Gimel, and builds like a beautiful building that I only know that Rav Nachman's capable of building that type of Torah. Mamish, to build a beautiful, beautiful building has so many rooms, and every room you open up is a whole other world that he's opening up for you. Mamish, in one paragraph, he opens up, Mamish, and you go from room to room. Rav Nachman said this about his Torah. He said that his Torah is like a palace. And every door that you open, you see there's another 10 doors inside of it. You think that you finally opened the door and you discovered another hidden door. And then you see there's another 10 doors. And you open another door and it's Mayim She'en Lem Seif. And you're able to see how Rav Nachman was able to take two small paragraphs, really one paragraph over here, Torah of Gimel, and just expand it for 40 pages. And it's a Pella. It's so much a wonder to see. Rav Nachman said that the Shlah said about his Sefer, but the Shlah wrote about his Sefer, that his Sefer takes you to the Pesach of Gan Eden. Rav Nachman said, my Sefer takes you into Gan Eden itself. Your mamash, you can see this. When a person learns the Kutei Halachas, it's unbelievable to see. In Breslov, they like to say the Kutei Halachas gives a person bittul abechira. Once you learn the Kutei Halachas, you lose your bechira, you push it. You don't have, it's mamash like that. You sit with the Kutei Halachas, not one or two pages. You sit and just go. I was talking to one of the Yidden that was here collecting from Eretz Yisrael. Getting off topic now, but it was part of the Achana for the Nasiya next week. But there was a Yid who was collecting here from Eretz Yisrael, the Breslover. He got into Breslover maybe 5-7 years ago. And he told me it's Erev Pesach, and he was sitting and learning with a Chavrusa, a Bacher. They were learning Hilchos Pesach and Lekut HaLachas. They said they were learning, and his phone was beeping and buzzing. His wife wanted him home. He had kids. It's Erev Pesach. There's a thousand things to do. The Bacher's mother wanted him home. And he said, we just kept saying, one more paragraph. And they said, the Pasha couldn't stop. He sat there for 3 hours, another page. Renaissance like, they get into Lekut HaLachas, you push it, you don't have the capability to be able to stop. And it's a Sefer, which is, it's unbelievable. But we'll see that in Mitzvah Shem, we get to that in a few weeks. We'll see a little bit, parts and pieces of Pru Ravu, Halacha Gimel, and how it ties this Torah, Terech of Gimel, which you're going to see all into Asar Min Negina, how this is the whole idea of Tikkun HaBris. And again, we'll see that all Akol B'Ito B'Zmani. Just to mention maybe one or two other Nakudas before we see Terech of Gimel inside. I mentioned last week the importance of Simcha is not only obviously found by Nachman, it's found by the Baal Shem Tov, but it's found in the Torah Kedesh itself. It's already found. Torah Kedesh talks about the importance of Simcha, that Tachas Hashalev Adtas Hashem Lekechem Simcha B'Tov Leva Mirav Kol, that it's crucial that a person has Simcha. But one of the things that Rav Nachman is going to explain to us, maybe not directly over here in Terech of Gimel, Terech of Dalet, but the things that we've mentioned in previous Torahs, both in Terech Tzadei Beis and in Terech Reishei, is that Simcha has the capability, and it's what we just spoke about a minute ago, that Simcha has the capability to allow a person to be able to fight the Yetzirah, and it's one of the most crucial tools that a person needs to be able to fight the Yetzirah. When a person feels sad, we mentioned this last week, the Ikra Avod of a person at that moment is to get besimcha, like Nachman says, afilu milu d'shtusa. No matter what's necessary to get a person to be happy, it's crucial that a person becomes happy. And the Baal Tanya talks about this in Perek Chavav. Those prakim in Tanya are very geshmaka prakim. Chav hei, chavav, chav zayin. There's a from the most geshmaka like avoydedik prakim in Tanya, where it's not just chabad, it's not just seichel, it's avoydedik prakim. Baal Tanya writes the following thing in Perek Chavav. It's kedai to see it inside the whole Perek Chavav. But just he writes over there the following thing. He says barim kagoyin da tzorich la'idia klal gadol. Says I have to give you a very crucial klal. Ki kemoishen etzachin, then etzach davar gashmi. The same way, if a person wants to fight a physical battle, kegoin shnei anoshin, hamis afgim zeh zeh lahapol zeh zeh. Two people are wrestling each other, fighting each other, they're battling each other. Hine me echidu ba'atzvas u'kfeidus. If one of them fell to the place of atzvas and kfeidus, if one of them fell to the place where he doesn't feel that he's going to win the battle, he feels shvach about himself, he doesn't have the confidence to be able to go. Yinutzach bekal people right away. What's going to happen? That person is right away going to fall apart. And he's going to fall. Which means even if he's stronger and better and more equipped to be able to fight the battle more than his friend, if he doesn't have the confidence that he could win the battle, he's going to fall. You watch this by, I haven't watched in a little bit of time, but you watch by sports games, often they have like these huddles. And the huddle is just, it's just psyching the team up to tell that they have the capability and the confidence to be able to do it. I imagine in wrestling, which is the example that, the Baal Tanya gives, I can't say I've seen wrestling, but imagine in wrestling, it's the same thing. The goal of the coach is not just to be able to convince the guy and to be able to give the guy tools and how to be able to fight the opponent. Part of the job, and one of the most crucial components of the job, is to be able to convince the guy that he's capable of beating anybody. And that's why the ego, often with people that are in the world of sports and the world of, entertainment, the ego gets very big because this is what they need to do. If you want to win the battle, you need to be able to build up the ego to be able to say that I have the koiches, I have the capability to be able to win the war. Zakta Baal Tanya, kamoi kocha mamish, but it's exactly the same way when it comes to fighting the Yetzirah. Efshel lenatzchei, it's impossible to be able to win the Yetzirah be'atzlus v'kvedus hanem shachis me'atzlus v'timtum alev ke'evin. When a person feels atzlus, and a person feels like his lev is timtum alev ke'evin, a person feels like his lev is cut, is totally cold, a person feels cut off, automatically what leads to that, says the Baal Tanya, is atzlus, is laziness and kvedus. When a person feels dragged down, which Baal Tanya writes in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis in Tanya, that it comes from the site of Ufer, which drags a person down, is atzlus and kvedus. Those things that pull a person down, ke'evin, kiyam bezrizis. Zakta Baal Tanya, the only way to win is only with zrizis, hanem shachis me simcha u'psichas alev. Person has to get simcha, simcha leads to psichas alev, which then leads to zrizis v'taras, and kol nidnon daiga v'atze ba'olam. To be able to fight any daiga, any atzvus in the world, to be able to fight it. And the Baal Tanya goes ahead in that parak in a beautiful way. That parak and the next parak explains how you're able to go ahead and mayach shaylat al alev, which is what all Tanya is built on, all Chabad Chassidus is built on, is mayach shaylat al alev, that the mind has the capability to be able to overtake the lev, which again, Baal Tanya said this 200 years before the therapist ever spoke about this concept of mayach shaylat al alev, that a person can be able to utilize their brain to then be able to go ahead. I think it's called DBT. A person can use their brain to then be able to go ahead and understand the inner workings of a person, and make sure that I'll leave, not to just be caught in the emotions, but this Baal Tanya spoke about this, hundreds of years before the therapist ever thought about this and ever learned about this. Baal Tanya then goes in and explains to you how, whether you're feeling atzvas from mili de shemaya, or whether you're feeling mili de alma, which means whether you're feeling it because you feel like you're not good enough in your avodas Hashem, or whether you feel atzvas because you don't have money, because you're not married, because you don't have kids, because you don't have shalom bias, because your kids didn't get into school, whatever a person is going through, Baal Tanya then spends Perek Chavav and Chav Zayin explaining exactly how to be able to use melech shelat al alev to be able to overcome that. But what's negeh for us right now is the Baal Tanya is explaining to us that this is crucial. Which means it's not just another tool in the toolbox that a person needs to be besimcha. If you want to open the toolbox, the first thing you need to open the toolbox is simcha. If you don't have simcha, then you can't even fight the fight. And you could have the greatest tools. You could have all the power tools in the world. They're all charged up. You could have everything there in the toolbox, everything necessary to fight the Yetzer. You can know all the Sifrei Musar, all the Sifrei Chassidus, and all the Eitzes, and all the practical Eitzes. You can watch a million videos every single day. But if you don't have simcha, person's lacking simcha, the whole toolbox is shut. It's laksha. Because atzvas and kvedas lacks the toolbox shut. And therefore, the Baal Tanya says the first thing necessary to be able to open up the toolbox, to then be able to say, okay, now do I have the tools to fight the Yetzer? The first thing necessary is simcha. The first thing is a person has to have confidence that I could beat the Yetzer, that I have the capability to be able to eradicate the Yetzer. The Yetzer has nothing on me. The Yetzer is just a malach who just sent here to try to trip me. But any chanami, I have the capability to be able to overtake him. That's the first and the most necessary step in a person going ahead, and a person has the capability to then fight the Yetzer. If a person's lacking lacking that. Says the Baal Tanya, you're already starting so far at such a disadvantage, it's going to be almost impossible to be able to fight him. And you're walking in saying that you're going to lose. The confidence is not there. And Mamela, it's going to be very, very difficult to be able to fight. And that's the Baal Tanya writes. Chaim Vital writes this as well. Chaim Vital writes in Sherek Kedusha, Atzvas Geremes Menias Avoida. Atzvas causes Menias Avoida Vakima Mitzvas. Ubitol Esik Batera. Ukavana Batvila. What does Atzvas cause? So again, we'll discuss. Is Atzvas an Avera? Is not an Avera? Zakta B'chaim Vital, it doesn't make a difference whether it is inherently in Avera to be Ba'atzvas or not, whether the Pasuk Tachas Shalev Adta as Hashem Lekecha Simcha B'tuv Leivav doesn't mean that it's an Avera to be Ba'atzvas. It only means that I should do Ivdu as Hashem B'simcha. But Zakta B'chaim Vital, let's look at what the byproduct, let's look at what the result of a person being Ba'atzvas. Atzvas Geremes, says the B'chaim Vital, Menias Avoida, Vikima mitzvis, ubitul isek gatoira, the kavana betfila, umavata machshava toiv lavadas Hashem, vushar hascholas giruya hasosis yetzer hara, afilu mutzadik. The beginning of a person falling apart is atzvas. And that's the beginning of a person not being able to daven, learn, be involved in any of this Hashem, do anything, is when a person doesn't have the basic level of simcha, then everything. Zakta B'chaim Vital, that's the beginning. That's where the yetzer sticks his foot in the door. Once he gets you to feel shvach about yourself, automatically, it's a very, very slippery slope, and he just pushes you all the way down. Like I mentioned in the Baal Tanya, I think maybe last week or the other week, Baal Tanya says that the Yetzer often comes throughout the day. The Yetzer, like Rav Nachman writes in Torah Aleph, comes looking like a big tzaddik, the long white beard, dressed in white like Rav Nachman writes over there, dressed, you know, mamash, to look like a big tzaddik, try to convince you to feel bad about something that you've done, and it's all atzis Yetzer Hara. And again, you have to create space, like we mentioned, I think, to be able to go ahead and to be able to know how to be able to battle that, and to taka have charata in a healthy and a proper way, to be able to go ahead and say slach lanu and avinu in a way that's not coming from atzis Yetzer Hara, just trying to schlep you down, but often, says the Baal Tanya, often those feelings of not being good enough, I'm not good enough in Avodas Hashem, not even in a way of in Gashmis, I'm not good enough in Avodas Hashem, my Shemir Sanaim is not good enough, my Machshavas and Davening weren't clean enough, my Torah is not good enough, I'm never going to be a Bucky and Shas and Paiskim. All of those feelings are only there to knock a person down. A person opens a biography from a Gadol and he looks at it, and instead of feeling elevated, a person says, I'm never going to be that. You know, I'm never going to be this person. I'm never going to be the Bucky and Shas. And the person starts to feel the Atzvah. So he says, okay. So, you know, it's my Yetzer Toiv. My Yetzer Toiv is telling me that, like, you know, I'm talking like I'm never going to be this Gadol. It's all Atzis Yetzer, says Baal Tanya. It's all just trying to schlep you down, because once you feel Shvach, once you don't feel good, once you lose your self-confidence, like Abchaim Vital says, that's the entrance way that the Yetzer has to make its way into a person's life. And once he puts his foot in the door with Atzvah, he has the capability to do anything. Then he can has a wrecking ball and can totally destroy a person's life. And therefore, it's crucial that a person needs this concept of Simcha in order to go ahead and to fight the Yetzer. Just whoever is Elkutim in front of them, you can turn to Torah Memches in the second Chelak and Tinyana. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but he writes over there in the middle the following thing. He says, it's Vaklala Huvi. It's the middle of like the first paragraph, and if you have the typical version of Kutumran, it's on page Chav Zayin, on the left-hand side, half about halfway down. Vaklala Huvi Achi. Yeah, beautiful words. You don't find this often in Likut Imran. Ahuvi Achi. Yeah, my beloved brother. Vaklala Ahuvi Achi. So again, Rahman's already calling us his brother. Already in a good place. Vaklala Ahuvi Achi. Not just his brother, his beloved brother. Vaklala Ahuvi Achi. Chazak v'amitz b'oid. He's talking about the various challenges that a person goes through when a person begins. Kesha Adam Nichnas b'avaydis Hashem. That's how he begins the Torah. Kesha Adam Nichnas b'avaydis Hashem. Ozay Aderech. The Derech Heshemar Leisrachas. When a person begins his avaydis Hashem, often they'll find that there's a srachas that he feels like he's being pushed away. Zakhtim Rahman. Vaklala Ahuvi Achi. Chazak va'amitz ma'ir, strengthen yourself. Va'achas atzmecha b'kol ha'koyches l'shar kaim b'avidoscha. Val tochesh val testakel klal. Akol analoki yitzav zeh. Don't look at any of the challenges. Don't look at any of the yiridus, any of the nefilas, any of the srachos that's there. Don't go ahead and look at any of that and say that because of that, maybe I'm not good enough. Because of that, maybe I'm not going to be able to get anywhere. Don't look at any of that. V'amat rachik ma'id ma'id v'meni yizbarach. And if the Yetzer comes along and the Yetzer tells you you're very, very far and distant from the Rabbanu Shem because of the things that you've done, because of the place that you got to in a state of ruchnius, and the Yetzer comes along and convinces you that every moment of your life you're just living in a way they're being poigim neged the Rabbanu Shalom. Im kol zeh keneged zateida. Zoktem Nachman. The Yetzer may be right. Maybe not the best person. Maybe your track record is not so good. Maybe your history is not such a clean, beautiful history. Zoktem Nachman. Im kol zeh keneged zateida sheish kaze. This person that's stuck in the place that he's stuck in, Kol tenua utenua shel menatek atzmei ma'at ma'at min gashmiyusay. U'paynol Hashem is baruch hu gedoyla v'yikara ma'oid ma'oid. The way, says Reb Nachman, to answer back to Yetzer Hara, when the Yetzer Hara is fighting you and telling you all the bad things you've done, either as you could do with the Baal Tanya, he says, to push it out and say, I'll talk to you at my Shah Achas, that I'm going to sit with you and discuss and go through my Cheshbon Nefesh before Kriya Shema Lamita. Zakti Reb Nachman, there's another Yetzer. If you can't do that, if you can't fight the Yetzer Hara and you can't push the Yetzer Hara out, and he's coming to you and telling you everything bad that you've done. And he's right, because the Yetzer Hara has been with you since the moment that you've been born, and he knows and he's able to tell you better than anybody else every aver that you've ever done. He's keeping track, and he has a full long rap sheet of everything wrong that you've done. When the Yetzer tells you everything wrong that you've done, you know what you tell the Yetzer? Tell him, Im kol zeh. You're right. You're 100% right. I've done all of that. But Im kol zeh, kineged zeh teida, says Rav Nachman, she'ish kazeh, this person, which means the person that I am, with all the averus and all the shvacha and everything wrong that I've done, she'ish kazeh, shu magushim kol kach, that I'm so caught up in the ilam agashmi, I'm so caught up in the world of physicality, kol tenua utenua shumanatik atzmei ma'at ma'at, min gashmi yusay upainal Hashem yizbarach, he gedoyla v'ikoro ma'id ma'id. Every tiny step that I make in avaydus Hashem, befrat, because I'm so magushim, and befrat because I have such a bad history, and I've done so much wrong, but every step that I'm capable of making, every tiny baby step that I'm capable of making, afilu nekuda katana ma'oid, even a drop, a tiny, tiny, tiny drop, nekuda katana ma'oid, we're not even talking about ma'at ma'at, we're not even talking about poin l'Hashem yizbarach, even a little, we're talking about a nekuda katana, mamash, a tiny, tiny drop, a baby, baby step, shu natik magash miyusek elav yizbarach, hu rats bezeh, kama v'kama alafim persoiz ba'ilam al-geinim. At that moment that he's doing that, he's racing hundreds of thousands of miles in the Alamas al-geinim. Right? The Baal Shem Tov taught us that the reason why Klai Yisrael is compared to stars is because when you look at a star down here in this world, it looks tiny. It's a speck of light. Right? We know that stars are massive. Right? Stars are massive planets. They're not tiny. Right? If you're able to get up there, right, and you look at you knew the size of a star. Again, I don't know exactly how big they are, but stars are massive. Stars are not tiny, tiny drops of light. Says the Baal Shem Tov, the way we view ourselves, the way we view the good that we've done in our life, is like a star. We say it's tiny. The way the Rabbanu Shalom views it, it's massive. It's not something small. It's not insignificant. It's not something that doesn't light up the world like the moon does or like the sun does. But the Rabbanu Shalom is able to see it from Shemayim, from a biblical vantage point, from Shemayim, from up there. He's able to see it from the proper vantage point. He sees the star for what it really is. He's able to have an up-close view of the star and to be able to see it properly. And Melech says, Rachman, a person who feels ba'atzvas, tells the Yetzer, im kol zeh, nevertheless, 100%, with everything that I've done, but I have the capability of right now making a tiny move, a tiny, tiny move. I feel like nekuda katana ma'oid, a tiny move. Who ruts bezek kama v'kama alafish persoiz be'alamas b'yonim. At that moment, he's running hundreds of thousands of miles in the alamas b'yonim. Kasha tovin hetiv min a meisa shel a tzadik she yizgaber alav ma'oid me'atzvos kamuvi yetzleinu. And I'll say that. I'll speak at that moment. That meisa in one moment. The meisa that he's referring to. But al zeh yismach ba'oid v'yechazik atzmei b'simcha tamid. Go ahead and again mitzvah gedol yis b'simcha tamid. Work on the simcha tamid ki atzvos mazik ma'oid ma'oid. When the Yetzer comes and tells you everything wrong that you've done, and he gives you all the sheet of everything wrong that you've done, tell him kol zeh. But the tiny drop, the tiny move, the fact that I'm a drop further today than I was yesterday, the fact that I'm working on myself a drop more, the fact that I'm able to hold myself back one more time from being paigam amanayim, one more time from allowing my machshavas to drift away during davening, I'm able to hold myself back for one more moment as opposed to getting up when I want to get up in the middle of learning. I can hold myself back one more moment from taking out my phone during davening. That itself is, I'm running ruts kama v'kama alafim persois by lamas al-yedim. I'm running hundreds of thousands of miles. And be besimcha over that nekuda katana, that mamash, that nekuda kataiva that a person's having, because if not, like Rav Nachman says, atzvas is mazik ma'oid, it has the ability to destroy a person. And b'melo, when a person gets involved, and he says, v'dash, etekev kashadam reitz alichnas b'avoidasi yizbarach, az etekev u'aveira gedoyla, kashiyesh le atzvas. It's an aveira gedoyla. So again, we have mitzvah gedoyla yis besimcha, which we'll see, besimcha tamid, which is seen in Terech of Dalid. Now Rav Nachman saying, there's an aveira, and there's aveira gedoyla. What's the aveira gedoyla? Aveira gedoyla is atzvas. Aveira gedoyla kashiyesh le atzvas kasvas shalom, ki atzvas u'sitra achra, v'ashem yizbarach seina oisei. You want to know what the Rabbanim hates more than anything else in the world? Shteitan Lukut Imran, based on the Zera Kaddish, Rachman hates, that the Rabbanu Shalom hates, he hates Atzvos. He hates a person that's Ba'atzvos. Even over the fact that the Yetzer is telling him everything wrong that he's done, and all the Chesroinus, and all the Chatam, and all the Pagamim that he's done, Zakhtam Rachman, forget about it. Im Kol Zeh. Say, Im Kol Zeh. Yeah, actually, yeah. However I am, whatever matzav I've done, whatever places I've gone to, nevertheless, I'm able to move at a kuda katana, a tiny drop, and that itself is yokar ma'oid by the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm not going to fall to atzvos. The Yetzer is trying to push me down, but all the averus that I've done, and I'm able to flip it on its head. Not just to say, you're wrong, but to say, fakir, Faker. We'll see this in a moment. In the story, Faker, that daika because of the fact that I'm so far away, and therefore for me to be able to make the tiniest move is so difficult, and it's so hard for me to be able to make a move because of everything that I've done, because my history proves that I should be in the same place today as I was yesterday, and maybe even in a worse place. And nevertheless, I'm able to say that not only have I not gone down, I've actually moved up a drop, dafka because of everything wrong that I've done, I'm able to say imkoze and daika because of it. Daika because of everything that I've done, I'm able to move, and that move that I make is yakara ma'id ma'id esa Hashem Yisbarach. Every move that a person makes is beloved by the Rabban Hashem. A famous maysa. I'm not going to go into the whole maysa now. The Bavitcher Rebbe was one time walking out of his father-in-law's office, the Rebbe Rayatz. And this is when he, you know, before obviously became Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz was still alive. And the Bavitcher Rebbe came out and there were two Bachram standing there. And the Bavitcher Rebbe said, "Do you want me to tell you something new that I just heard from the Shver?" So I said, "Yeah, of course. You know, everyone wants to get any piece of information, any piece of Torah they can get, you know, from the Rebbe Rayatz." So he said, "I was just by my Shver." And at this point already, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was already involved in dealing with, you know, various types of people from all walks of life. Again, it's before he was Rebbe already, but he's dealing with various types of people from all walks of life. And there were people that were giving him, the Rebbe, a little bit of pushback. Again, he was the previous Rebbe's son-in-law, but he was the son-in-law at that point. He wasn't the Rebbe. You know, and they gave him a little pushback about the fact that he was dealing with maybe some more colorful characters than they liked. And he was being involved in being Makarvan and drawing these people closer. So he asked his father-in-law, he asked his Shver, the Rebbe Rayatz, like, you know, are they right or am I right? Like maybe in Echanam, maybe I should stick to like a select few group of people. And again, Baba Trev had the kayach to be able to sit and talk to the highest, you know, the highest levels of, you know, people that are, you know, Sai Maskilim and people that were, you know, big moichan. He had the capability to just sit with them. And, or should I go ahead? And what ultimately became his life's mission is to go ahead and to be able to spread Yifutza Manasecha, Chutza, Chia, Chutza, Shiyesh, to be able to spread to every corner of the world to find the Yid that's the most far-flung Yid, not just in terms of geographical space, but in terms of spiritual, in terms of Ruchnias, to be able to find that Yid as well. So the Rebbe Yatz told him the following thing. He said, if parents have a child, and that child is not well, unfortunately, the child has some sort of illness. The child has some sort of, you know, disability. The child is born with some sort of challenge. So he says, obviously, the parents love all the children, but the parents love that child that's born with a disability a little bit more than love the other children. There's a little bit more love and care that they give to that child. The child needs it, and the parents have to give, and the parents are able to give, even though, again, they love all the children equally. It doesn't mean they love that child more. But there's a certain love that the parents have to the child that was born with a disability, the child that's born with a disadvantage. The parents naturally feel bad for that child. The child is sick. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, a child gets, you know, diagnosed with cancer. You know, a teenager, you know, somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, a little baby. You can see sometimes in the hospital, it can rip a person's heart apart. You can see a two-year-old baby. You can see a six-month-old baby, you know, sick with cancer. All the love that the parents have for all the other children is the love that they have for that child, and the care and the warmth that they have for that child who's sitting there, who's getting chemo, little baby, you know, walking around with an IV pole. It's in the shire. It's difficult to compare that to, you know, to any other child. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Yatz, told the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said it's the same thing by the Rabbanu Shlalom with neshamas as well. That the neshamas that are healthy, avad the Rabbanu Shlalom has love for all of Klai Yisrael. Hafti eschem amar Hashem b'nei b'chari Yisrael. But the Yidden that are disabled, the Yidden that are not doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, the Yidden like Rav Nachman's talking about, the Yidden that are rachik ma'oid ma'oid me'Hashem Yisbarach, he says the Rav Hashem loves them even more. The Rav Hashem wants us to go ahead and give them more warmth and guidance and more love to be able to go ahead and to bring those neshamas back. Because in a way, dafka because of the fact that they're in that makam, dafka because of the fact that they're struggling, dafka because of the fact that they're magushim kolkach, and therefore they're rachik kolkach from the Rabbanu Shalom, dafka because of that, they need the extra attention, they need the extra love, and therefore he says, don't stop. But like, here, you know, go weiter, and not just go weiter, but yes, and go and continue and do it in a stronger way because they need it even more. And again, that ultimately became, you know, part of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's mission is to go ahead and to be able to recognize that we need to focus on these people more. But Nachman's telling us you have to do the same thing to yourself, which means on a day that you feel disabled in terms of Yiddishkeit, on a day that a person feels like my Yiddishkeit's not going well, and I'm, you know, I'm schlepping along, I have crutches, and I'm schlepping along, and I'm holding an IV pole of all the avers that I've done, and I push it, I'm schlepping along in a way that I'm not healthy, I'm not running, I'm not even jogging, I may not even be walking. Pashat schlepping along in a wheelchair, Pashat moving in a very disabled way, it's dafka in those days that a person has to look at themselves and have more compassion on themselves than on a regular day. That's what Nachman's telling us over here in this Torah. Unbelievable thing. Have more compassion on yourself and recognize that dafka because of the fact that I'm not doing so well, dafka because of the fact that I'm disabled, dafka because of the fact that my challenges are weighing me down and everything I've done is weighing me down, if I'm able to nevertheless go ahead and be able to do something, right? The parents of a child who's born with a disability, when they watch that child, a child who's, you know, not capable, not verbal for the first, you know, the first 2-3 years, and then finally after working with therapists, the child's able to then go say the first word at 4 or 5 years old. That first word is the most precious word in the world to the parents. You can't compare anything to that word that the child says. The other children spoke when they were 1.5, 2 years old. Yeah, but this child at the age of 5 or 6 is now capable of saying the first word. The parents, it's beloved by the parents in a way that you can't compare anything else to. But the Rabbanu Shem, it's the same thing I'm Nachman saying. Person realizes that. Person recognizes that it's yakar ma'id ma'id by the Rabbanu Shem. The tiny steps that we make when we feel shloped down, when the Yetzer Hara is trying to fight us with this place of atzmus. And like he says, this happens when a person begins his avodah, that automatically he's going to be hit with the srachos, he's going to be hit with the atzmus, he's going to be hit with all of these challenges. And when a person sees that, a person recognizes that, a person is able to say, nevertheless, I'm not giving in. I'm going to tell the Yetzer Hara, daika because of this, afal pikin, not just afal pikin, but because of the fact that I've went through everything I went through, I know that every step that I make, every move that I make, every little step that I'm able to make is precious by the Rabbanu Shalom. The Heilig Baal Shem Tov taught us that when the Rabbanu Shalom sometimes walks away from us and we feel that there's a srachas from the Rabbanu Shalom, and we feel that the Rabbanu Shalom is distancing himself from us, it's only because the Rabbanu Shalom is like that parent that's holding his child's hands and then walks away from the child and allows the child to walk on their own. And the child's wobbling, the child's not able to walk clearly, the child's not able to walk easily, the child's not going to be able to ride the bike, you know, easily when you let go. But at the same time, the wobbly moves that child is able to make on the bike, that those first few steps that the child's able to make, those are the most precious thing in the world to the parents, because now the child's doing it on their own. Now they're able to fight back all of the natural tendencies that the child has to get on the floor and to curl, which is what many of us often feel like. We want to just get on the floor and crawl. We can't walk. We're not capable of walking. We're able to stand up and make shaky moves, shaky steps, one step in front of another step, and then we fall. We pick ourselves back up like the kid learning how to walk. We make another step and another step. Those are precious. Yakar ma'id ma'id by the Rabbanu Shem. And this is crucial. Again, we'll see how all of this is going to tie back into Tikkun HaKlali, but this is crucial that a person needs this understanding that you need to fight. Like he says, atzus is mazik ma'id ma'id. Feeling depressed, feeling broken, feeling shattered, feeling that there's no self-worth and there's no worth in anything I do in my avodas Hashem. That itself is mazik, a person, ma'id, ma'id, and therefore you have to fight with whatever you can to be able to go ahead, be able to get besimcha. And again, we'll talk about a lot of etzis when we talk about this at length, what this looks like, but this is crucial to do. Just to point out this story that Rav Nachman says, where he mentions over here, Agav Urcha, that there was a story that Tzadik Echad, so it's a story which is brought at the end of Sipur HaMaisis. At the end of Sipur HaMaisis, there are sichas that are after Sipur HaMaisis, a few sichas, you know, similar to like Sichas Haran, there's a few sichas that are brought after Sipur HaMaisis, and over there, he brings down the following thing. Again, this is all, you know, along the same exact, everything we've been talking about up until now. He says the following. He says, Yedua, she'atzvos hi midah magona ma'od. We know that atzvos is a midah magona ma'od, v'tzorech l'srachek m'mena ma'od. Again, like we're talking about, you have to stay as far away from it as possible because this is the beginning of the end. V'roi v'hachis l'har matzmai. You have to go ahead and be mechai yourself and pick yourself up. Ki yoida, she'kol tenu avataka, she'adam aniya u'ma'atik atzmai, k'shenichnas avaydis Hashem. Again, paraphrasing what he says over here in Torah Memches. Every move that a person makes when he begins entering into avaydis Hashem, he yukara ma'od v'eni Hashem. Even if it's a tiny, tiny move, a tiny drop, because of the fact that we're stuck here with the guf in Olam HaSiyah, every move that we make is difficult. And it's hard because we're naturally being schlepped down by the guf. Every little bit that we're capable of doing is yakara ma'id. I'm going to mention again, I probably have mentioned this multiple times over here in the shul in various different places, but it's one of the things that I can never get out of my head, this turf and the Kedushas Levi. I think it's in Tezri or Metzer, if I remember correctly. The Kedushas Levi gives a mushal over there about how yakar it is by the Rabbanu Shalom, every tiny step that we make. The Kedushas Levi brings a mushal of a king, a wealthy king, obviously, who went ahead and his prized possession was an African grey parrot. It doesn't say those words, African grey parrot, but a parrot. He had a parrot. I think that's the one that talks, if I remember correctly. He had a parrot that he brought in from Africa, and he brought in with a trainer, and he sat there and he trained this parrot to be able to go ahead and to talk. And this was the king's prized possession. There's nobody in the whole country, nobody anywhere had ever seen something like this, a talking animal. This was his prized possession. It would wish him good morning in the morning, it would wish him good night at night, and it would say 3-4 sentences, maybe 5. These were the things that it did, and this was the king's mamish-like pride. This is his pride and joy within all the jewels. He had an animal that could talk, that could say, Your Majesty, Your Highness, how are you doing? This is mamish-like golden by him. There's a villager that came to visit the prince, the king one time, and the king is obviously showing him around the palace, and the king brings him in to his inner chambers, and he says, I have to show you something they've never seen before. This villager had grown up with the king, they were close friends, and he says, I'm going to show you something most people in this country have never seen before, but this is my prized possession. He shows him the parrot. And he says, you know, he gives a signal, and the parrot says, you know, good morning, your highness, how are you? He gives another signal. He says, you know, good evening, your highness, you know, hope you sleep well tonight. And he says these 2-3 cute phrases, and the king is like glowing. And he looks at the villager, the simple villager, and the villager's like, how much do you spend on the parrot? He says, 10,000 golden coins. He's like, you're crazy. So he's like, why? He's like, I don't understand. He said, how many things could the parrot say? Three, four sentences he could say. He's like, it's idiotic. He said, I've been sitting here talking to you for 2 hours. We'll be discussing things in an intellectual way, an intelligent way. You're asking me questions. I'm answering you things. I'm not parroting the same thing again and again. I'm actually having an intelligent conversation with you. And you're not impressed by me. And you're sitting here and you spent 10,000 golden coins on this parrot. You flew him in from Africa with a trainer. And this is the inner chamber of the king. This is what you have here. You have here like this parrot that's saying these three, four phrases. And this is what blows your mind. You're not blown away by me. Like I'm sitting here and having an intelligent conversation with you. So the king told him, you're the fool. He says, of course you can have an intelligent conversation because you're a human. That's what humans are supposed to do. They're a madaber. Madaber is supposed to have an intelligent conversation. So I'm not excited by the fact that you can have an intelligent conversation. If you have an animal, which is a chai, not a madaber, and is able to say even three, four sentences, that's mind-blowing because it's capable of saying even a little bit, that's unbelievable. Says the Eilik Kedushas Levi, we sometimes the Malachim turn to Rabbanu Shalom, and like that villager, they say, Rabbanu Shalom, who are you impressed by? Kan Yasvin Yisrael v'askim v'raiso, Kla Yisrael says, Kutshi b'richu, he gathers a whole palmai delay and says, look, chazu banai. Malachim say, really? You're impressed with that guy? You know what he was thinking of while he was davening Shemana Esrei? Yeah, he davened Shemana Esrei. You know, he thought about four vacations during Shemana Esrei. He thought about three restaurants. He thought about, Machshava Zorit. He thought about everything during Shemana Esrei. And while he was learning, when he stopped learning, if you asked him 5 minutes after he finished learning what he learned, he probably can't tell you what he learned. So, these are the people you're impressed by. Kad Yasvan Yisrova Eskim Araisa, Yimamish calling to hear the whole Palmai delay. Chabonei Chavivai. Look at us. We're sitting here. We've been singing your praises since the day you created the world. We haven't stopped singing your praises. The praises that we sing are pure, they're unadulterated. There's nothing else that goes into it. There's no Machshava Zorit. We don't stop for a second. We're just here like soldiers doing it again and again. The Rosh Hashem tells him, Allah, I'm like the king tells the villager, you're the fools. Because if you can have a human, like Rav Nachman saying over here, who's ba'ilam asiyah, beguf ba'ilam asiyah, and is able to make a tenua katana, is able to make one small move, that's precious by the Rabbanu Shalom. Because we're fighting against something that's so basic to us, which is the guf, and it's dragging us down with atzus and kvedas, and all the yetzahara is dragging us down, and nevertheless, we're able to make a small move, so that's precious. Right? The same way a child's first steps are precious, even though they're not perfect, and we don't celebrate an adult being able to walk, because we understand that a child's first steps is precious because of the fact that he was been crawling for the past year or whatever it is. It's the same thing, whether Rav Hashem looks at another, looks at a yid. Rav Hashem looks at a yid and is able to say that every small move that we make, befrat when we're stuck in the place of gashmis, befrat when we don't feel like we're tzaddik, when we feel like we're holding in the place of disability, dafka over then, it's yokar ma'id ma'id. And then he brings down this maisa about tzaddik echad. That's unclear exactly who the tzaddik was. This is different from Saris, but it doesn't really make a difference for us exactly who the tzaddik was. But Maisai b'tzaddik echad, shenafel olof atzvus ekvedes godlis. That's a tzaddik echad. Again, Rav Nachman's giving him his askama. He was a tzaddik, a real tzaddik. We're not talking about a lightweight. We're talking about somebody who Rav Nachman calls a tzaddik. Tzaddik echad, shenafel olof atzvus ekvedes godl. He fell into the place of depression. Atzvus ekvedes. For atzvus ekvedes, kishemes gaberes al tzaddik, kashama oidolov, ki olof meschazekas yosevi oiser. It was getting worse and worse. It's falling into a deeper state of sadness, depression, brokenness, heaviness. Acha nafal of asas ekvedes kol kach. Acha loy haya efshel leklal lozes memekayim and mamash. He could not get out of bed. Right, the feeling that I imagine many of us have felt in the morning. We just can't get out of bed. This is what the tzaddik was feeling. I don't know how long this went on for, but this is what the tzaddik was feeling, that he pasha cannot get out of bed. Machmas gadol akvedes va'atzus shkabel ovam ma'id ma'id. He pasha couldn't move. Pasha cannot get out of bed. He was totally, totally disabled by the depression. He was totally broken by the depression. He wants to go ahead and make himself happy. He couldn't be able to pick himself up and raise himself up and make himself happy about anything. Anything that he had that he wanted to go ahead and make himself happy about the fact that he's a tzaddik, the midas that he has, the Torah that he's learned, the avodah that he's done, the tefillos that he had, anything that he wanted to do, matzalei habal davar b'toichei atzvas. What does the bal davar do? A person goes in and says, yeah, but I finished shas, and he says, okay, but how much of shas do you remember? Yes, you made a siyum shas. You learned after for 7.5 years, but how much of it do you remember? Okay, but I davened the good shachar safe, an hour and a half. How much of it were you paying attention to? Yeah, but I put on tefillin. Do you know what you were thinking about when you were wearing a tefillin? Do you know that you didn't speak any dvar b'toichei when you were wearing a tefillin? The Yetzirah was going along to the tzaddik, and everything that he found, every Yetzirah that he found, to go ahead and to be able to pick himself up and to raise himself up, right away the Yetzirah came and knocked it down. The Yetzirah said, ach, that's not good. That's not being anything. Do you know what the other people are doing? Do you know what greater people than you are doing? Right away it just came and it knocked it down, and it made him feel like nothing and worthless, and he probably couldn't get out of bed. There's nothing left. He went through his day, he went through his avoida, he went through his decades of avoida, of the fact that he raised himself up to the place of a tzaddik, and everything that he had done good, the Yetzer knocked it down and said, it's not big, it's not chashav, it's not important, you could have done better, you could have done greater, there are people that have done better than you, you could have worked harder, you could have done this, everything that happened, he was able to knock him down. I found atzvas inside of that nekuda toiva that he found, it knocked it down. The hischel esamech atzmai. This is a etzah that Rav Nachman himself gave. It's crucial for a person to know. And again, Rabbi Deutsch was talking about this mamash the other night in a drop different terms. But the hischel esamech atzmai b'simchas shalo yosani goy. What did he go ahead and do? He went ahead and he's mesamech himself with the simcha of shalo yosani goy. V'zeh bevadei, says Rav Nachman, simcha gedolah she'ein la shir. That's a simcha that there's no shir. Why? Ki ein la shir hefrish v'hevdol. To look at the lowest Jew on the totem pole, so to speak, of what neshamas look like. All the way in the bottom, the guy who's what the Baal Tanya calls the toenail. Mamish, the bottom yid, who's all the way in the bottom of that claim of Shlema of what it means, Knesset Yisrael. This is yid who's all the way in the bottom. You can't compare that yid. To the greatest, the highest, most, you know, the guy who's mamash chazdei umesayilam, who's doing mamash shev mitzvahs b'nei noach, chazdei umesayilam. You cannot compare for a second the lowest Jew to the highest, greatest, most intelligent, most honest, God-fearing guy that there is. Ein l'shayr klal, right? The person opens up Perak Aleph and Tanya and Perak Beis, where he says van nefesh hashenis b'Yisrael lechelik alekayim mal mamish, and you can't compare side the nefesh of Ahamas, like he writes in Perak Aleph, is different. Side the nefesh of the kiss is something that only Yid has. It's ein l'shayr. You cannot compare. You know, I don't know who, you know, who saw what went on today, but like the inauguration, I didn't see much of it. I just know that like what went on, this whole ceremony, all of it, and it's like this person is being celebrated as the most powerful person in the world. You can't compare it. And a tiny drop to his son-in-law. Son-in-law is a yid, right? And you can't compare. You can't compare. He's the most powerful. The whole world is parading and talking about him. You can't compare him to his son-in-law. And again, it doesn't make a difference. You know, his son-in-law, I think, is from yid, but it doesn't make a difference. Not the point. You can't compare him. You can't compare him to the most fry yid who never put on tefillin and kakafted lemonach tefillin, never said shema and doesn't know the marshim existed. You cannot compare the two people. And he's done good things for Klal Yisrael and for Yisrael. You can't compare. Again, even if he would be a good person, without, you know, getting to that conversation, but even if he would be, you can't compare the greatest guy to the lowest yid. Because yisker hatev chesed Hashem yisbarach shalasu a guy. When a person remembers the chesed Hashem did for us, the biggest chesed he ever did for us is that he made us be yidden, that he gave us an neshama chelik lekayim yimal mamash bevade roy shetisgadol simchasim me'oid. It's roy that a person should have simchasim me'oid. But yisimcha she'ein ala atzvos. This is the etzer of Nachman gives science sichas around lekutimran as well, that a person needs to find a base level of happiness. People also often think that the way that I'm going to be happy is if I learned well, if I davened well, if I shemer me'anayim, if I didn't speak lashon hara, if I feel good about what, you know, things that are going in my marriage and my home. If I feel good about that, that's my root of simcha. That's how I'm going to be able to base my simcha on. Says Rav Nachman that simcha shetluy bedavar. The same chazal say hava shetluy bedavar ein hava. The same thing with simcha shetluy bedavar. If your simcha is based on how well you learned first seder, or how well you daven shacharis, or how well you were shemay your naim, it's a simcha shetluy bedavar, and it's not going to be miskayim. Because what happens on a day that you couldn't learn well? What happens on a day that you didn't daven well? What happens on a day that you fell apart in terms of the ear of shmir sanaim? And that day you're going to feel ba'atzvus. And like we said, atzvus is a slippery slope that leads you all the way down to the bottom. Therefore, Ibn Nachman said you have to get a base level of happiness that no matter what happens that day, no matter what you've done or haven't done, the yetzer can't touch. And that the only thing you can find that's base level is shalei sani goy, because that the Yetzer can't take away from you. You're born with it, and it's the most essential part of who you are. And regardless of what you've done or haven't done, it's always going to be there. And Meir Rav Nachman says, if you want to be able to base your happiness, and then again, you can build on top of that. Once that's my base, that's my platform for happiness, shalei sani goy, now I can say, I learned well, of course I should feel good. I davened well, of course I should feel good. I went ahead and I was miskaber my Yetzer, I should feel good. But that's not the base. That's not the deciding factor, and am I happy or not? The deciding factor, the base level, that's where I start from. That's my platform. That's the beginning. That's the ground zero. Everything else is built on top of that, because the Yetzer can't do anything to the Yetzer cannot destroy that level of Shalei Sanegai. And this tzaddik went ahead and he found, he was able to go ahead with the inner of Shalei Sanegai. I'm going to stop here, but I'll just be makatsu what he says over here. He explains how what the tzaddik did is tzaddik was able to be zeiche, to have mamash like an Elias and a Shama, and he was able to see what he did at that moment, that he was mesamech himself, and he was able to see that Ratz Bezek Kama Alofim. Parsois by Lamas Al Yonim. He was able to see the effect that Simcha he was having the Lamas Al Yonim. And then he felt a little bit Ba'atzvas, and he came back down to this world, and he saw that everything that he had done had only moved him a tiny, tiny centimeter. And then he saw what was going on back up in Shemayim, and then he saw back down here. He was able to be mamish up there and down at the same time. He learned in Chaim Aran, Reb Nachman's a Peldik, a story, a Re'iyah that Reb Nachman had on Chanukah, which he said on the first night of Chanukah. Fascinating story about a tzaddik. I mentioned this, I think, last day, about the Chanukah for bringing a tzaddik who goes ahead and picks the yid up. The Eirich comes into the house and picks the yid up, and he's flying. The person's flying with the tzaddik, and he's going up, and he comes back down. Mamish, this yid was experiencing that, where this yid, this tzaddik, was experiencing where he was mamish down here, and he saw that all he moved was maybe a half a centimeter, and then he saw back in the Lama Sayyanim what was really happening up there. He was able to see, like Rahman saying there in Torah Mem Ches, he was able to see the reality of what takes place when a person is able to push himself and able to go in a kuda katana ma'oid, mamish a tiny nakuda, in that place of Gashmi, how much of an effect it has in the Lama Sayyanim. And again, we'll be mamshech next week, or whatever, not next week, but the week after, with Terech of Gimel, we'll get into what is Simcha, how Nachman defines Simcha, be'inyan Simcha, what Simcha is, and how crucial Simcha is, and then again, Dukhar Terech of Dalet, and then we'll eventually get back to the place of Mkutel Lachat.